Yes. Good evening, family that's out there. Sure, I'm missing some of you family in the live stuff here. What, are we all trying to listen to these things at our convenience or what? Where's everybody at? Turn on the ditch. I better. This is not one of those memorable sermons, though. This is just a... Tonight, we are going to look at something that you'll never receive in the mail or anything from anybody. And these are Christmas cards that you can come up with your Bible. Rightly divided Bible coming up with Christmas cards. These aren't the kind of cards you'll ever get from anybody. Hallmark could do these cards and there'd be no copyright. They can come up with hundreds and hundreds of cards. And really, you know, Christmas, what a card has is you got the opening picture, so there's no pictures tonight. We don't do the picture thing. But there's something on the cover, and then there's the punchline. You open up the cover, and then there's the punchline. There's the verse, there's the statement. And the Christmas cards you get today that are supposedly Bible don't even have the Bible reference, the Bible NIV or whatever. They're supposed to, by law, if they use a verse on a public Christmas card like that, they're supposed to say, parentheses, NIV, LSB, stupid, 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 or whatever. Lie, 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 the LIE version. But they don't have to say if it's King James. King James, you can put the verse down there, you don't have to say that. But you know, there's that thing in Isaiah. That's kind of the classic one. Let's see if I've got it written down in here. Isaiah, I think like Isaiah 7 or something like that, where they got that. It's that classic verse here, Isaiah 7. And they really turn it around. For unto us a child is born. Let's see, what do they change here? Well, no, I must have been Matthew then. It must be Luke. I don't know. But they changed the verse a lot to men of goodwill. Goodwill toward men. That sounds like a Matthew thing, doesn't it? But anyway, they changed it to men of goodwill. So these Christmas cards are putting it out there that if you're getting some kind of a Christian thing, they make it look like we have to be a good guy to receive God's blessings and all this kind of junk here. So we're going to look at some Christmas cards or anniversary cards, a couple of birthday cards in here that you could get out of your Bible if anybody, you know, still had some way to print up some of that kind of stuff. You know, this is the... By the way, I'll be putting up my old Christmas sermons and study notes here in the next day or so. It's my Christmas present to the family out there. It's a little late. Christmas is here, but somebody's been asking for them. I've been sending them to them. I know what I think I'll do is I'll just slap them on the website for about a week or so. People can read them if they want, whatever. One of my favorite ones, though, is when I realized that Christ Christmas is Christ Mass, and a Mass is a celebration of Catholics. It's a celebration of Christ's death. So you remember that sermon where we talked about when we say Merry Christmas, we're actually telling people Merry Christ's death. And I just noticed that the other day. I get to thinking, well, where's that one? So I haven't had a chance of telling anybody yet Merry Christ's death yet. I'm thinking about it. I'm not sure how far I'll get with that sort of thing. I'll try my superintendent. She's Catholic or Lutheran. I think I'll bounce that off her. I just got in telling you the other day that for the Christmas programs next year, I won't be doing any of the so-called Christian songs because I don't believe in Christmas regarding the Bible goes. And then I said, and besides, I won't be doing any Santa Claus songs at all. Never will do those. And she was shocked at that. But maybe I'll bop the Christmas, Merry Christ's death. That'd be kind of a fun one. So anyway, let's look at some cards here tonight that you'll never see. And so basically, it's pretty low key. We'll just read the first part of the verse, and then you'll see the punchline. You flip the cover, and there's your punchline verse. And sometimes we read our Bible so fast, we blow that whole thing. We could read that first part, and then we could pause for a second. And, well, there's a good one. Whose favor rests? I haven't seen that one yet. That's a different one. And we'll see what that punchline says. We've got a lot of verses. Let's just fly through these things tonight. So get your Bibles ready to flip pages. And here we go. Romans 7:20. Now some of these are going to be those expensive cards, you know, the $5 or $6 cards. You open them up into four different parts, or six parts, or two parts, or whatever. But most of these will just be the simple little cheap card here. For example, Romans 7:20. Imagine getting this in the mail. 7:20. It says Romans 7:20. Oh, sorry. Now if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it. There's your front cover. Open up the page, and it says, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now, these aren't meant to be funny. These aren't meant to be anything. They're just, when you realize I started doing this thing, I started realizing God has a lot of verses where he says something, then he has a punchline for it. The last part of that verse is like the kicker in the stomach or whatever. It is not I. It is not more than. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it. Turn the page, but sin that dwelleth in me. Oh, I could probably send that to somebody who's in jail or something, or somebody who lost family over some arguments or whatever like that here. Look at verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then I, with the mind of myself, serve the law of God. Turn the page, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So we get excited about the first part. With the mind I myself serve the law of God. Yes, that's me. I'm the Christian. I'm doing what I think I need to be doing. But then you turn the page, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So our flesh is still following sin, and it always will. But our mind wants to do the right thing. So we have to have a stronger mind than flesh. So let's get the sermon. Let's just go through these verses here. Let them speak for themselves. Romans 7:6, I think it says here. Let's see here. I don't remember even finding that one, so let's read this one. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held. That wasn't what I wanted to do. Romans 7, 6. Then I've got 8. What's 8 here? And then 9, A. I wonder if I was doing a different chat. Let's look at 9, A. Look at Romans 7, 9. For I was alive without the law once. Turn the page. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Now there's a card to send to somebody. Then I've got 10. And the commandment which was ordained to life, flip the page, I found to be unto death. I wonder here. Look at chapter 10, Romans chapter 10. I wonder if that isn't supposed to be chapter 9. Nope. Chapter 10, verse 4. Front part of the card, for Christ is end of the law for righteousness. That'd be a good Christmas card. Turn the page, to everyone that believeth. Look at chapter 11. Chapter 11, verse 22, I've got written down here in my quick notes here. All right, this is a good one. Behold, therefore, and you got a picture of the fancy writing and probably some holly or something along the sides up there or something, you know, or if it's a birthday card, some balloon and all this kind. I got a picture of the cards here. This one here is probably just to a Christian friend for the day. Behold, this will be Christmas. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell severity, but towards thee goodness. That's nice. Guy got God's goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off. The only problem of that one would be that's not an individual person card. That's just to the Gentiles as a nation. But it still have an effect, wouldn't it? Look at verse 22. Oh, we did that one. Look at verse 25. Front of the card. If I were not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits. Okay? Front page. Turn the page over. The blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Shows a difference to the Jews and the Gentiles. I guess to send that out to one of your Christian friends or whatever. Look at verse 28. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. Flip the page. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. So I guess what I want you to see here tonight is when we read verses, sometimes we just blow through the whole verse and we don't recognize the fact that the first part of the verse makes a statement and the second one punches you with it. Look at verse chapter 12. Look at chapter 12, verse 9. A good card would be your general, hi, how are you doing? I haven't seen you for a while kind of a card would be, abhor that which is evil. Well, they'll agree with that. Turn the page, cleave that to that which is good. We don't want to do that. It's really fun for us Christians to hate something and to abhor the stuff that's wrong. But to cleave to that which is good, that's a little harder. Because that which is good doesn't serve our flesh. It actually goes against our flesh. Anyway, chapter 13, verse 14. Well, this is a good one. But putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Very good. That's nice. Yeah, I want to do that. And make not provision for the flesh. That's tough. Why? Because it's going to fulfill the lust thereof. If you're an alcoholic and you have a problem with alcohol, then you put on Jesus Christ, you get out of this AA stuff, or AAAA, how many A's are on that thing, and you got Christ as your Savior and a King James Bible reader, but you don't dare put that bottle in front of you. That's making provision for the flesh. If TV is your problem, you stay around TV. If the games, the computer games are a problem for you, then you stay away from them. So you put on the Lord Jesus Christ, turn the page, and boom, and make not provision for the flesh. And you can throw if you want in there to the fulfill the lust thereof if you want. Look at 12, I've got 12, 18. This is a good card. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, there's a cover. I get, you know, as I think about it, these are the kind of cards you see at Wall Drug. Got these horses, these battered up horses, and you got these old geezer ladies and these old geezer cowboy guys that have been around for 900 years. And they're just sayings of wisdom you send to people for no reason whatsoever. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, turn the page, live peaceably with all men. But if you want to really be creative, I don't think God would care. You put the first part of the card, live peaceably with all men. You have the opening part of the card. There's your Christmas card, see, And then open it up and it says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you. There you go. There's your punchline. It's kind of a backwards punchline there. Okay, let's look at chapter 13. Chapter 13, where it says, chapter 13, verse 14. What have we got here? 13, verse 14. Oh, we did that one already. Look at chapter 14, verse 1. Opening cover. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye. Oh, that's good. That's just a nice Christian card. Open it up and it says, but not to doubtful disputations. That's a reminder to us that there's some people that are young in the Lord, young in the Bible, young in their salvation, or they're just young in their knowledge. They haven't been taught anything. And they won't get some of the stuff you're standing for, you're trying to believe, or trying to preach or teach or whatever. So we have to be careful with that stuff. If we look at verse 10, same chapter. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? There's your front page. Open it up, and it says, for we all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. There's a letter to send to somebody, or a card, a nice pleasant card. I suppose you can open it up, and there's all the flames and fires of your works going through. And that's a person. I suppose in the bottom part of that card, you'd want to have 1 Corinthians 3, where it talks about the works will burn, but not you, and all this kind of stuff, you know. Okay, look at verse 17. We've got in verse 17 here. Open it, you get this card, you open it up, and it says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Okay, open it up, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Maybe we should call these not just Christmas cards or birthday cards or whatever cards. We should make them cards we just send to people, send to ourselves, just send to each other. It's a Bible verse that we seem to blow past because we skipped the punchline. Let's look at verse 20. For meat, destroy not the work of God. Turn the cover. But it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. And really, this to me, this is a Christmas verse. Because we understand the meat of understanding the truth of Christmas. I mean, here we got the Muslims out there bashing Christmas. And in so many ways, they're actually right. They're not going about it scripturally. But they wised up to America's Christmas thing. It wasn't like this 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Some of you folks are old enough that you realize Christmas years ago wasn't anything like it was. It wasn't even a holiday. It wasn't even the Christ stuff is that much, that big a deal. In early America, it was even illegal. It was against the law to have Christmas. But for meat, and we can destroy people by not going to their place for Christmas or whatever. If that bothers you, then don't go. But if you can handle it, you go. You don't have to do the whole thing, and you don't have to, you know, all that stuff, but be around it. The meat, for meat, destroy not the work of God. All things are pure. Sure, all things indeed are pure. But if we do that, and we don't go to show them that we're Christians, that could actually destroy God's testimony, God's working on people. We got the meat. But there's something to think about there. Not telling people to start celebrating Christmas at all. But it really shouldn't bother us. We don't need to make a stupid scene kind of a thing. I won't do the Santa Claus songs because I think it flies in the face of Jesus Christ himself. And the Christmas carols, most of them are lies. They don't even tell the truth in there. And I wouldn't have a nativity scene in my house or in my yard because it's not true. It's not true. But am I a Scrooge? Well, I probably am to most people. But No, do Christmas. I don't care. Give me presents if you want. Send me money. I don't care. I'm okay with that. Do it any time of the year you want. Romans 15. Let's go to Romans 15:1. Romans 15:1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. That's a good front cover. Open the cover up and not to please ourselves. Punch. We spend most of our time trying to please ourselves. That's why we wear differently clothes. That's why we do things now we weren't doing before. That's why we get tired of stuff. Why? Because we ourselves is what we're thinking of. Not to bear the infirmities of the weak. We are to bear the infirmities of the weak. We're strong enough to be around the TV. We're strong enough to be around the computer games. We're strong enough to be around Christmas. We're strong enough to... We're supposed to be strong enough to be around any of this stuff, especially the men out in the workplace. But I've come to realize that the ladies, when they're strong, they're still very weak. And they shouldn't be out there. And yet, when you read this thing, sure, we then that are strong, we're strong. We have to bear the infirmities of the weak. Okay, so they still believe in Christmas. You know, whatever. Shouldn't kill you. They don't understand. And it seems like if sometimes you want to light these fires and get these arguments going, why? To please ourselves. We want to show them how strong we are and how weak they are. We're doing that for ourselves. Anyway, I promise not to preach. We've got a lot of verses to look at here. But that'd be a good card to send to somebody that seems to be a little mouthy with their strength. Romans 15:1, verse 8. That's a good verse 8. This is a good one to tell people. Your Christian brethren, you know. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God. There you go. Turn the page. To confirm the promises made unto the fathers. You can send that card to somebody who doesn't understand this Paul stuff. Jesus Christ is a minister of the circumcision. Why? To confirm the promises made unto the fathers. Okay. Look at verse 17 I've got here. 17. I have therefore, whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ. Well, that's good. That's a good thing. Second page says, in those things which pertain to God. Isn't that true? Okay, then we look at verse 25. 25. 15, verse 25. It's 16:25. It's got to be 16:25. 15:25 is, but now we're going to Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. Yeah, that'd make a great Christmas card. 16:25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. Send that to your Baptist buddy there. Turn the page. According to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. And you can put in parentheses there, that's Paul's teachings, according to the revelation of the mystery. That's through Paul. So there's a card there to send to somebody who thinks you're nuts with this Paul stuff. Let's jump around. Let's go way back to Titus. Let's go back to Titus. Titus chapter 1. We got in Titus here. Chapter 1, verse 14. Here's a card for somebody. Again, these would be more just to your Christian brethren, not so much a Christmas card. Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men. Turn the cover. That turn from the truth. Do you see how he writes these verses? It carries over from verse 13. Wherefore rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men. Pause. Turn the cover. Punchline. That turn from the truth. That's what they do to us. You get caught up in this Great Commission. You get caught up with these people of the Great Commission. You get caught up with their commandments of what you should or should not do, even though they're probably pretty good ones. But you get caught up in that stuff, what's it going to do? Turn the page, punch in the stomach, then turn you from the truth. Look at verse 16. Looks like 116, but I don't think there's 116 verses in here. Chapter 1, verse 16. They profess that they know God. Pause. Turn the cover. But in works they deny him. That's a slap. Then if you want to have one of those fancy cards where you pull on the little lever and it pulls something down, or push on the lever and it pushes up a little balloon, you know, one of those kind of things. And then it could say, being abominable, push up another balloon, being disobedient, push up another balloon, and unto every good work, reprobate. That'd be a fancy card. That's glorious. Those will sell big at Hallmark, I'm sure they would. Let's look at Titus chapter 2. Let's look at verse 4 I've got down here. No, Titus chapter 2, verse... Yeah, I got verse 4. That's hard to make a card out of that, though. I don't know why I wrote down 4, and then I got 5. Five, 4 and 5. Okay, 4 and 5. Teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient children, husbands. Turn the page. Let the word of God be not blasphemed. That's a good part two there. That's a good punchline in verse 5, the little part of that part 5 there. Look at verse 8. I wonder. I'm looking at chapter 3. Let's look at chapter 3. There we go. Chapter 3, verse... Well, that was pretty good on chapter 2 there. Turned out pretty good. Got through that one. But the real one I want to look at is chapter 3, verse 4. There we go. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared toward all men. Turn the cover. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration. And you know, you get a lot of people that read that verse 5 for their memory verse, for their salvation, for the Baptist kids and everything. But verse 4 is part of that verse 5. Not by works of righteousness. Well, that's true. But look at verse 4. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared toward man. Read up in verse 3. It tells us what we were sometimes of. And if you follow our flesh, we still are that way. I think that's something people don't realize, though. When they put their faith in Jesus Christ, our flesh is still verse 3. It's still foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving lust, divers, lust, and pleasures, living in malice. And that's what we get when we follow our flesh. That's still there. That doesn't go. It doesn't magically go away because now Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is in our heart. Paul reminds us that flesh is still flesh. It's still sinful. That's where it's at. So we follow our flesh, we still become that way. We still do that way. Let's see here. 9 is a good card to send to somebody. Avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law. Turn the cover, for they're unprofitable and vain. What a waste of time to get into those arguments with people. Let's see here. Let's go to Ephesians. Cards you never see from Hallmark. Who's some artist people I know around here? Jimmy and I got Louie, he's a good artist, and I should know some other good artists, good drawers, painters, whatever. Let them draw the pictures and we'll put these verses in. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 2. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father. There's a Christmas card for you. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father. Open up the cover, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. That ought to turn your thoughts a little bit. How about verse 3? Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. No, stop here. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Stop there, dot, dot, dot. Turn the cover. Who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Sad thing is they wouldn't know what you're talking about. Yeah, they wouldn't get that thing at all. Let's look at verse 7. You could tie in the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 3, then you could put on after that, in whom we have redemption. Everybody believes that. Turn the page, turn the cover, and it says through His blood. Because the other Bibles take out through His blood. So, I guess you could change it a little bit here. In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, turn it over, through His blood, and according to the riches of His grace. There's ways to manipulate these cards. Look at verse 17. Let's look at 17. No, 13. We can't skip 13. But this is one of those expensive cards, verse 13. This is the one that would say, in whom ye have trusted. First trusted in Christ in verse 12. In whom ye also trusted, turn the cover, after you heard the word of truth. Turn the cover, the gospel of your salvation. Turn the cover, in whom also after that you believed, turn the cover, you received the Holy Spirit of promise. So you got to look at that verse 13. You can't just blow through that verse 13. You've got to actually think about it while you read it. Maybe having these things come out in card format, I could understand them a little better. If you wanted to tie in 13, in whom after that you believed you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, turn the page, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. That'd be a good card for you. How about verse 17? Oh, this would be a huge card, actually. Because he talks about, I make mention of you in my prayers. Send that to some of your family and friends. And then verse 17, you list them. First page would be that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, if I may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of him. Turn the page, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Turn your page, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Turn the page, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. It goes on like that. Maybe if you read our Bible like cards, you read a paragraph, read a verse, and then watch for that punchline. Underline. Go through your Bible. If this is like LD, you've read through your Bible, I think you said the other day, 56 times or whatever, then this time go through your Bible and underline the punchlines. The little punch verses that poke you. Then you could print that, have that printed, and you could sell that as the LD punchline Bible. These are the verses that are important to everybody. No, they're important to me, not anybody else. How about chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened. Turn the page, turn the cover. Who were dead in trespasses and sins. That'd be a joyful card for some of us. Look at verse 7. Let's try that one. That in the ages to come he might show his exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us. Turn the page. Through Christ Jesus. And you wanted to make one out of verse 8, come to think of it. All you have to say was, for by grace are ye saved. Turn the cover. Through faith. Want to make another one? For by grace are you saved through faith and that not of yourselves. Turn the page. It is the gift of God. How about verse 10? For we are his workmanship. That's nice. That's a great thing to read. Turn the page. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We've been created to do good works. Send that to somebody to remind them we're living kind of crummy. Or, but for your first cover, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Pause, turn the cover, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. See what we're doing? We're taking these verses, we're actually kind of rightly dividing, we're kind of rightly dividing for emphasis within these verses themselves. Look at verse 12. That at that time you were without Christ, or I guess what you could say to somebody that's lost, you could send them this card. You are, .. was quoting, without Christ, an alien from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, you have no hope, and you're without God in the world. That'd make a great cover. Do you think you'd read the whole cover? I doubt it. But anyway, turn the cover. But now, in Christ Jesus, you could be made nigh by the blood of Christ. That's kind of changes some words to make a card a real hot item to sell. But somebody gets saved. You send them this joyous card. Instead of these baptism cards you can buy, congratulations on your baptism or congratulations on your confirmation, somebody says they truly get saved. Well, at that time, ye were without Christ, da-da-da-da, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes, da-da-da-da. There's your card. Make a nice card. Tell Catherine. Well, Grandma, tell Catherine. Make up these cards for me. Let's look at, we got 12 and 13. We did that one already. Let's look at verse 18. What's 18? Verse 18, okay? For through him we both have access by one Spirit. Turn the page, turn the cover, unto the Father. We don't have to have an unknown God. We can go right to him. We have access to him now. So they don't have that kind of access in the tribulation, and they didn't have that kind of access in the Gospels. Anyway. Oh, there's so much more I'm missing here. Let's look at chapter 3. I got chapter 3, verse 1, okay. Cover page, the cover verses are, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles," pause, turn the cover, "if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God." That's kind of a poke to people that aren't understanding your Paul oddity teaching, belief, whatever. How are we doing for time? We're doing all right here. Look at verse, I got verse 20. Let's see what chapter 3, verse 20 says here. Verse 20. "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us," turn the page, "unto him be glory in the church." That's a good verse to remind us that, you know, what we want, what we need, what we think we need, Christ himself is able to do more than that. And it even says, according to the power that worketh in us. Anyway, here's a big card, verse 14 I've got here in chapter 3. Let's see what it says here. Verse 14. Oh, here we go. This, you're just sending this to some one of your family, friends, whatever. "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." There you go. You ever send somebody a card, or did you ever receive a card where somebody says, "I'm praying for you"? I remember, I won't talk about that, but when you ask people that are really, they're up a creek and they're probably passing away or whatever, and people come up and say, "I'm praying for you." Well, what are you praying? Are you praying that I'm going to live longer? I mean, take away my pain? I'm not going to die? What are you praying for here? Obviously, it doesn't work, because I'm still in the situation. But you want to write to somebody, tell them you're going to pray for them? Send them this card. "For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Turn the page, 16. "That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory." Here you can have those balloons again. But the first balloon slides up and it says, "to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man." Push up the second balloon, "that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith." Push up the third balloon, "that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend," this is a big balloon, "may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, and depth, and height." Push up the next balloon, "and to know the love of Christ." There's how you pray for people. That's how we pray. Remember those prayers that Paul has. I think there's five prayers. Not that we repeat them in repetition of prayers kind of stuff, but we just look at those things. If you want to pray for me, you want to pray for somebody else, I should pray for you. I should be praying those specific things. To be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. When I see people getting weak in their decisions, in their stages as a Christian, then they need to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. That's where the strength's got to come from. Sad to say, the only place you get that strength is from your Bible reading. And if people aren't reading their Bible on a regular, serious basis, sincerity, then they don't get the strength. We pray for people that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. I mean, we really don't know necessarily by people. And we also pray for somebody that they comprehend all that Paul teaches. That's the breadth and length and depth and height. And to know the love of Christ. To know that, that's what we need to pray for people. And even just verse 20, which we talked about, you know, he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. But what are you asking for? He could do more than that. And I know some of you say, well, he doesn't seem to be doing a whole lot right now. Well, it takes you back to verse 16. Where's that strength we need to be patient, to hang in there? Easy to say, but that is what the scriptures talk about here. Let's go to chapter 4, verse 1. What do we got here? I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, cover, turn the page, turn the cover over, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called. And then if you want, you can put some more balloons up. There's some more things out there in your little balloons. Let's look at verse 17. I've got verse 17 for some reason. Let's see what it says there. Verse 17. Here, this is a nice card to send to somebody. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. Okay? Turn the cover. In the vanity of their mind. If we look at... Let's go back to... I like 11. Cover. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Pause. Turn the cover. For the perfecting of the saints. Balloon 1. Balloon 2 for the work of the ministry. Balloon 3 for the edifying of the body of Christ. And you don't have to do balloons. You could do a Bible popping up there. Let's look at verse 26. What have I got for 26 here? 26 here. Oh, yeah, this is a good one. Yeah, keep a bunch of these around in your drawer. Be angry and sin not. Open the cover. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. As they hand that to your wife or to your husband. Everybody's having a little fight. Hand them the card. Be angry and sin not. Open it up. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Chances are the wrath would get more fuel. But that's the way it's supposed to be. You're not supposed to go to sleep mad. And part of that verse, colon there, neither give place to the devil. That could be one little balloon that pops up out of that card. Put a little spring on it so when you open up the card, it goes, comes out of there, wing, 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 wing. Neither give place to the devil. I think I should start a new card company. What will we call it? I'm sure you guys will come up with some good names for the business. I'm sure it'll sell big. Anyway, move this thing out of the way. Mark's probably going to come up with a title here. Yep, see, I miss Bob going away. Okay. Well, let's go to Galatians. Galatians has some good ones in there, too. I remember back in New York, one of our guys, one of the churchmen, not New York, back in Las Vegas, one of the churchmen is a very well-to-do man, a lot of money. Construction in Las Vegas in those days was big profit. And he helped one of the guys in the church start a bookstore. We, who were pretty green at the time, and he wanted this guy to sell nothing in there but King James materials, King James books, King James Bibles, anything that would support the King James. And did we not realize that who wants to go to a bookstore like that? I'm just curious how much money they lost in that bookstore, because nobody went to that store except us. But if we could have had these cards, all these cards would sell in this country, all over the country, because we're such a Christian nation. They would love these cards. Right. Here we go. Galatians chapter 1. I've got verse 9 down. Let's see what happens here. Cover. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you that ye have received, I guess you can skip the first part. Just have it say, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than ye have received, pause. Open the cover. Let him be accursed. That's a good card. That'd be a popular one. How about verse 12? For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it. Open up the card, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. I got a double card written here. This would be a lot involved in this card. A couple more pages in this card here. Cover. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Open it up. First page. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Turn the cover. Turn the next page. Sorry. That was probably pretty loud out there. Where did I stop at? Turn the cover. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Turn the cover. Page over. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Pop up a balloon that says, who love me? Pop up another one that says, a game. We can be very creative with these cards. Hallmark cards, yeah. There you go. Good. Let's see here. Galatians 2:19. Okay. Cover. For I through the law am dead to the law. That's a good card. That's a good statement. Open it up that I might live unto God. Oh, that took some of the fun out of it, didn't it? I'm dead to the law. I can do it. All things are lawful. I've heard that. Yes, that's good stuff. Turn the page over there. But I have to live unto God. And would God direct us in the direction we're going? Is it from God? You can tell if it matches the scriptures or not. Let's see. Look at verse 21. I do not frustrate the grace of God. Second card, second page. For if righteousness comes by the law, flip open the next one, then Christ is dead in vain. And you know what? As I think about that, that still tells me that's what people think when they think they have to still confess their sins. Because you have to confess them, and Christ will pay for them. He doesn't teach us that. So what he did on the cross was really vain. All you got to do is ask him to forgive you, and he decides to forgive you. That's his choice in their ideas. Anyway, Galatians chapter 3. Verse 3. Opening cover. So how are we doing for time? Okay, opening cover says, are ye so foolish? Open the card. Have you begun in the spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? That's kind of a... I know some people I can send that to. How about verse 11? Front cover. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. Open the cover. The just shall live by faith. How about verse 26? Let's see what that one says here. Verse 26. Cover. For ye are all the children of God. Open up the cover. By faith in Christ Jesus. That's the one you can use on the Great Commission, guys. Because they think that you have to be a peacemaker. You've got to be a nice person. And I think that that's where a lot of the pride comes, these Great Commission people, because they really think that they are peacemakers. They don't want to argue. They don't want to challenge anybody biblically, because they can't, for one thing. But they don't want to anyway. And they just want to stay away from that kind of stuff. And yet, that's the peacemaker in them. But we're children of God because of our faith in Christ Jesus. And then the risen Savior tells us to deal with stuff. Point out that what's wrong. Abhor that which is evil. We don't get that. That means you're confrontational. No, we're not trying to be confrontational. I just wish I could talk to somebody about Santa Claus. How scary that is. I wish I could talk to somebody about Christ Mass as the death of Christ. Because we're told to. Anyway, Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Now, here's a negative one. Chapter 4, verse 9. I know some people to send this one to as well here. Cover. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather have known of God, open up the cover, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements? You probably lost a friend already by now anyway, so send them this card. Why did he go back? Or until you desire again to be in bondage, like a third page or a balloon or something, you know. Verse 18. Send this to these people that church faces. Cover. But it is good to be zealously affected, always in a good thing. Open up the cover. And not only when I am present with you. Parentheses. So get serious. Or some little comment, you know. These are the people that put on the Paul face. Maybe we shouldn't call it the church face. We'll call it the Paul face. It is good to be zealously affected, always in a good thing. Boy, I tell you, when people are preaching and reading the book to you and the Bible and Paul, it's exciting. But we're still supposed to be that, even when Paul isn't there. So when you're not reading your Bible, we're supposed to still have that zealousness towards the truth. Anyway, no more preaching. Let's go to verse 20. Oh, yeah, this is a good one, from a parent to a kid, probably. I think of some parents the kids ought to send this to, but I can't say that. I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice. Open up the cover, for I stand in doubt of you. Now, there's a way to seal a friendship with somebody. Let's look at chapter 5, verse 1. Cover. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Pause. Open the cover. And be not entangled again to the yoke of bondage. Ooh, pow. And one of my favorite ones. I know I could send this one, too. Verse 7. Ye did run well. Ye did run well. Open up the cover. Who did hinder you? You should not obey the truth. That's a nasty card to send to somebody. You know, you want to walk up and say, you know, man, you had some good years there. So who talked you out of it? What's going on? How could you go this way? What happened here? Who was that? Kind of a thing there. That's a card from the pastor. Somebody's quit the church or has left the book or went off and done something you never in a million years would have thought they'd have done. Now, who talked you into this anyway? Who got you out of what you were doing so well in? What happened? Which, by the way, I understand a lot of who the people are. That's why I get so frustrated with them. I know what they're doing. They're trying to take people away from what they're doing well in. Anyway, preachy. 16, verse 16. Cover says, walk in the Spirit. Open the cover, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That verse tells me that there's still a lust that we have in our flesh. Well, sure we do. Because if we don't walk in the Spirit, we can fulfill that lust. Because we, like Paul says, he wants to follow the law of God in his mind, but his flesh, the law of sin. So we'll do that. Walk in the Spirit. Get in that book. Stay in that book. And you won't give in to your flesh. And those verses come back in your mind. Isn't the verse in Psalms that says, the law have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee? Well, let's not pull up the law. Let's pull up Paul's verses. In Ephesians and Galatians and Timothy and Titus. And to hang on to that stuff. That's walking in the Spirit. He's telling us to do this through that Bible. And if you do that, we won't give in to the lust of the flesh. I guess you can make a card out of verse 17, actually. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other. Turn the page, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Which takes us back to Romans 7, why Paul couldn't do the right thing all the time. There's a battle with the flesh all the time. Well, let's keep going here. We got 18. We did that one. I guess you can send somebody this card. But if you be led of the Spirit, pause, open the cover, you're not under the law. See, that's where we are, by being led by the Spirit of God, which we have, Romans chapter 8, today, we're not under the law. Well, let's see here, I got 15:25. That's chapter 5, verse 25. Look at that verse. Cover says, if we live in the Spirit, ... open the cover, let us also walk in the Spirit. That's what people don't... They live in the Spirit because they're a Christian, so they think. But do they want to walk that way? No. What's a walk in the Spirit mean? The way God tells you in your heart? No, according to the Scriptures. Who wants to follow that? Oh, let's see here. I got a whole bunch. Got anything I want to not miss here? Galatians 6, 9, let us not be weary in well-doing. Turn the cover, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. That's a good card to send to somebody. Somebody who's wearing down, you can see they're giving in little by little. Leaven is leavening people. Send them this card. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Open the cover, for in due season we shall reap. There's this little guy with a balloon again. Pop it up and it says, if we faint not. Come up with your own artwork in your mind as you do these things here. Well, what do we got here? Got 6, verse 16. I got a star by that one. Oh, here we go. You want to have peace be on them and mercy upon the Israel of God? Isn't that weird? I mean, strange. Galatians 6, 16. As many as walk according to this rule. So back it up. Another cover B. Peace be on them and mercy. Open up the cover. As many as walk according to this rule. And what's this rule? Verse 15. Put that on that little balloon. But it's just strange where it says in verse 16, as many as walk according to this rule, which is what this new creature is, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. So a Jewish person, if they can get this rule of the new creature, that's Paul's teachings, there's a verse that says a Jewish guy can get it. And the nation can get it. Peace be on them, who? As walk according to this rule. And mercy. And upon the Israel of God. They still could get it today. Even as a nation. It's not going to happen. Oh, I got a couple. Let me wrap this up. I got a couple I wanted to pause. I wanted to do all these in Philippians. And here we go. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. For somebody who has a new baby. Let's have a new baby card. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 here. Let's see what that says here. In reverse order, though, it says, for me here, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11. opening cover, baby on the cover, pretty pink or pretty blue or whatever, however they do this kind of stuff. And it says, as a father doth his children, dot, dot, dot. Open the cover, and it says, how he exhorts and comforts and charges. I like to give that to a lot of fathers who are good at exhorting, who are good at charging, but they're lousy at comforting. I've got some kids in my one band in one of my schools, and the school's got some issues in their school. It's just a little school, K through 8, but it's like a one-room, it's like a three-room schoolhouse. Three teachers out there and myself. Mixed grades and the whole deal. And there's one family that their kids stick out as independent, and they're going to still do the right thing. So they must be getting it at home, because they know they're not getting it at school. Well, I've met their parents, and I can tell by looking at the father. The few programs I've ever done, he hasn't missed a performance yet. And he's always smiling, and he's a very, very happy man. And he supports his children. And as near as I could tell, that kind of father doesn't just charge his kids. He doesn't just exhort to them and tell them what they ought to be doing. I believe that man is there to comfort his children, too. He looks like a comforting kind of a man. Now, how many of us ever had comfort from our father? Well, I'm not trying to go back over that stuff, but I know some of the situations today, it's like a father has too much pride in him to be comforting. They want to, it's like fathers today, and I try to get these parents to come up and play some drums with us and some cymbal crashes, and trying to get the dads to come up in front. And these guys are just bullheaded. They're not going to come up. So they're not going to be very comforting people. Why is that? You know? And so, that I think that's so missing in so many of our homes, is the comforting from the father. There's another verse. I'll see if I can find that thing. I thought I had that in there, but it's not. I'll dig this up real quick here. And the word is nourisheth. N-O-U-R-S-H. Nourisheth. No, that's not what I wanted. Nourished. Let's try nourished. Nourish. Let's try just nourish. Ooh. Okay, I'm coming. Hang on there. This is sermon in the process here. Something about a nurse. Maybe it was a nursing in our nurses. We were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. 1 Thessalonians 2:7. Real close there. There we go. So we see that there still has to be some gentleness for our children, for our kids, for our family. So give this card to a father. As a father does his children, dot, 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 we exhort, we are to comfort, and we are to charge. There's a balanced father right there. And they are rare, I'll tell you, they are very rare. Here's one for babies, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. This could easily go along with what we were just talking about. Front cover. Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Open it up, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. How do you do that? You exhort, you comfort, and you charge. Those cards could go together. And then let's finish up, I suppose, here with 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. This is what to give to somebody who says they follow Paul's teachings. Cover, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you. Turn the cover. And how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. It's one thing to study Paul and to believe Paul and understand Paul and the whole thing. But there's the second half. I said this for years back at Touchette, that we all enjoyed the teachings about Paul's doctrine at first, about the grace and he's the minister, dispensation of grace. We all just really like that stuff. It just took so much burden off of us, and we realized what Christ has done for us. But we got to the second half, where we are supposed to turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. That's the stuff we're supposed to turn away from, and that's the stuff we fought. And we still fight to this day, all of us, put some action in what we believe. Now, I'll finish this up with an illustration I had here, showing how we get things backwards. Because some people want to do the right thing, but they don't understand where they're getting it from. They're just wanting to think they're doing the right thing. And which is cool. I'm glad they're doing the right thing. But if there's no Bible understanding behind it, and there's no Bible knowledge behind it, they've got a false understanding. They think they're doing the right thing because of the Great Commission teaching or whatever, but they don't have God. They're doing it in their own righteousness still, even if you see my point here. So people that, there's a lot of people in this world that are nice people, good people, and they're doing the right thing for their family. They're good fathers. It's like, man, where'd you come from anyway? But they're out there. But they're not getting it from their Bible. And so they're doing the right thing, but they have no understanding behind it. Now here's my illustration. It finishes up here. I went yesterday, a couple of days ago, the last day of school, the teacher was teaching some third graders, I think it was, it'd be the second to fourth grade class. It must have been probably third graders. Teaching, this girl had to do the problem 60 times 8. And this is one of the girls that doesn't pay attention. She probably can't. Not got the capabilities, I suppose. Who knows? But I was like, can I help her do this? Because I enjoy walking into classes and teaching grammar and math and stuff. It's fun, because at that level I can do it, you know. 60 times 8. Okay. So I said, what's 6 times 0? She says, well, 0. I said, what's 6 times 8? She looked at me like, man, I have no clue. Okay, what's 6 times 1? 6. What's 6 times 2? Didn't know that stuff. So I said to the teacher, y'all teach multiplication tables, right? Well, sure we do. Well, okay, sorry for asking. And a couple minutes later, she comes over and explains, okay, let me show her how she does this. Because I was telling this girl, just memorize your facts table. It's your knowledge. Just learn the facts tables. Facts table, what do you call them? I'm thinking tax tables. The facts, or the multiplication tables. There we go. Multiplication tables. And so, I got to get this done here. So, she starts to write to this kid on the paper. I don't even know what she was saying. Well, here's how we do this. We do 30 times 2 or 30 plus 2 or then you do this 4, 6, but all these numbers, she kind of figures this out. She comes up with the answer, 480. I said, man, what's all that? I said, is this that new math stuff? She said, yes. I said, boy, when we were young, you and me, because this is an older lady, even older than I am, and we said, yeah, we learned the math tables, multiplication tables. And she said, yes, we learned it, but did we understand them? And I just thought, I'm in second grade. I just needed to learn 6 times 5, 6 times 6, 6 times 8. Just learn knowledge. And her question to me was a slam. Did we understand them? See, they're teaching these kids this new math junk, and this new math teaches them the understanding of why 6 times 80 equals why. Let's just teach them the 6 times 8, 48. Just learn the facts. So they're trying to teach kids this understanding without doing the knowledge. They're trying to teach them the knowledge by starting with understanding. It's totally backwards. I've been wanting to say that to some. I got to take that to the superintendent. I'm just curious. Why do we do that? And our school is noted for being way behind in math in the state. Well, duh. I can solve their problem. Put this understanding junk away and start teaching the facts. When they get to high school, then they have the understanding. But how can you teach the understanding of a multiplication problem where within that little block you're multiplying and adding? So you still have to know the facts of 2 plus 2. And this is only, I don't know, second or third grade. It is no wonder our kids are so stupid or unintelligent or uneducated or whatever it is. This girl doesn't know her math tables. It's as pure and simple as that. What's I got to do? This understanding stuff for this Bible. We got people trying to do the right thing, but they have no understanding. They don't even know the knowledge of what it is they're supposed to be doing. So it's a deception. It's an imitation. So these guys that think they know math, they still don't know math. They certainly don't understand it. Okay, well, there's your Christmas cards, there's your birthday card, anniversary cards, and there's also how to read your Bible. Watch for those punchlines at the second half of a verse. And you'll find out a whole bunch more verses here that would make good cards. But basically, the point is, God says something, then he pumps you one. Says something like this, then he hits you one with a good conclusion. And the one, from such withdraw. There's the punchline right there. Well, anyway, whatever. There you go.